I was saying you can download my charts from that website and or get the audio later, but I'm sure the congregation here can also get you the audio later. In her first speech, Margaret was talking about Romans 2, verse 1. It says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man," and this is after Romans 1, of course, the chapter, "whosoever thou judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing." Verse 2, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And speakest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God." I think, though I'm not sure, that Margaret was saying that if we say homosexuality is wrong, we're judging them. But the Bible doesn't condemn judging per se in that sense, because the Bible tells us to point out the sin in others out of love to try to help them to be saved. The hypocritical judging that's condemned in Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5, and here is when you condemn another person or judge another person when you're doing the same thing. "For thou that judgest doest the same thing," verse 1. "You do such things and doest the same," verse 3. But notice verse 2, "We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which do commit such things." What things? What things have you just been talking about? Idolatry, fornication, haters of God, homosexuality. The judgment of God according to truth against them which commit such things. So it's not really us that would judge the homosexuals. It's God, through His Word, that judges people in homosexual marriages or committing this, practicing this behavior of homosexuality. It's God judging them. We're just pointing out where God does the judging. Margaret brought up Sodom and Gomorrah. And I didn't actually use that argument, but since she brought it up, let's look at it. She said that Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 through 50, teaches us that the sin of Sodom was just the sin of inhospitality, not the sin of homosexuality. I won't dispute the fact that they were inhospitable. As a matter of fact, if some people want to, as she said, gang rape, some men want to gang rape some other men, I would call that pretty inhospitable. Not, I would call it not very hospitable, wouldn't you? But let's look closely, more closely at Genesis chapter 18 and 19. If you'd like to turn your text there, I don't have the whole text on my chart. First of all, I want you to notice in Genesis 18, verse 20, that Sodom and Gomorrah's sin was called very grievous, even before, I believe it's two visitors came. Now, we know those visitors are angels, but to the homosexuals there, they thought they were men. But this sin is called very grievous. God told Lot that this sin was very grievous even before these two visitors came. So there was sin before this attempted rape. Then it's in Genesis chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, the men of Sodom requested homosexual relations with the visitors. Now, if it had occurred at that point, there would have been no rape or intended rape or attempted rape. They requested it. Genesis 19, verse 7, the proposed homosexual relations were called wicked, and Lot rebuffed their request. Then comes the fact, the attempted rape. They request it. That's not rape. They request it, and Lot says, "What you propose is wicked." So he's calling what they're proposing, this is homosexual, homosex, I'll say, before they even consider raping, he says, "This is wicked." Chapter 19, verse 9, after the rebuff, then the men of Sodom resort to attempted rape. That's after their sin was already called very grievous in chapter 18. After they had requested, not demanded, homosexual relations, and after Lot said that request, what they were requesting was wicked. So it's not just the rape that's condemned here, it's the homosexual relations. Everybody turn to Jude verse 7, and let's look at what Jude has to say about this. Jude verse 7 says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." What was Sodom and Gomorrah condemned for? First of all, it's called fornication. Admittedly, they wanted to commit rape, but that's not what it said is they did wrong here. It says fornication. They were already committing this sin before the angels came. Fornication. Now notice it's a particular type of fornication. Strange flesh. After reading the text, what do you think that Jude thinks meant by this word strange? I think we know, don't we? Remember Romans 1 said homosexual, type sex is unnatural, that, of course, we understand heterosexual type sex would not be unnatural. It would be natural. Strange flesh wouldn't be the natural type. It would be the unnatural type. It's fornication. Homosexuality is a type of fornication. You know, in some of these translations, and in the Old Testament, we see the word sodomite. And I think in the New King James, maybe in 1 Corinthians 6, it had it translated one of the words sodomite. I can't remember for sure. It has been so well understood through the centuries. I don't know. Anybody here, any man here know what year we could think that the event of Sodom and Gomorrah happened? How many thousands of years ago? Let's just say 5,000, since we don't know. Let's just say 5,000. This event occurred 5,000 years ago. For 5,000 years, it has been so well understood what their sin was that we coined the term sodomite to refer to the sin of homosexuality. Margaret, how come we call homosexuals in some categories, sodomites, if the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom, was not homosexuality? It's been so well understood for that 5,000 years or whatever it was, that's how we got the word. Let's go more into Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. Margaret said that passage proves that the sin, Sodom's problem was pride and selfishness, not homosexuality. First of all, as I've already mentioned, we agree Sodom had more problems than just homosexuality. That shouldn't surprise us. People steeped in sexual sin are usually, almost always, I should say, involved in many other sins as well. So if these people are steeped in the sin of homosexuality, it shouldn't surprise us that they're inhospitable or prideful or selfish. Notice verse 50 says Sodom was also guilty of abomination. Yes, they were guilty of the sin of inhospitality. It also says they were guilty of the sin of abomination. Now, you remember what Leviticus 18:22 and Leviticus 20:13 calls the sin of homosexuality? That's right, an abomination. So I have this feeling that when it says they're guilty of inhospitality and also guilty of the sin of abomination, that it's referring to their homosexuality, based on what Leviticus says. And notice also in verse 58 of this context of Ezekiel 16, verse 58 accuses Sodom's sister of lewdness. That's Strong's number 2154. Jacinius defines this word lewdness as wickedness, especially in speaking of sins of uncleanness such as fornication, rape, or incest. So there seems to be from this context that there's not just the sin of inhospitality, but also some kind of sexual sin. Seems clear to me that we're not talking about just one sin, inhospitality, excluding homosexuality, but when all the evidence is gathered, we conclude that they were, as you say, prideful, selfish, inhospitable, and guilty of this abomination, which involves sexual sin. Homosexuality, sodomy, as we get from the name of their city. Now, and I appreciate Margaret doing this. You realize I didn't bring up Sodom and Gomorrah, but she responded to it. But I did bring up Leviticus chapter 18 and chapter 20 twice, and now she responds to it. In that passage, it had, as I pointed out, had condemned homosexuality twice alongside of bestiality. We'll talk more about that in a moment. And it calls this sin of homosexuality an abomination. She says that this Hebrew word translated abomination here is tobah or abah, and I think that's correct, Jason. That's correct, isn't it? She said that means ritual uncleanness. And I wrote this down. I have to write fast, but here's what I think she said. She said it is never used when someone breaks God's law. So this word abomination in Leviticus, when it says these homosexuals, the things that they're doing is an abomination, she says this just means ritual uncleanness, and it never is used when referring to someone who's breaking God's law. Now, if that were true, I think she might have a little point there. But let's look at how this word is used, tobah. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. This same Hebrew word that we find in the passages in Leviticus 18 and 20 condemning homosexuality and calling it an abomination, this same Hebrew word, tobah, is found in Deuteronomy 12, verse 31, Margaret. It's even translated abomination there. It says, their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. That's tobah, called an abomination. Is that just ritual uncleanness? Or is that something that's actually a sin? Something wrong in God's eyes. They're taking their sons and daughters. It's called an abomination, tobah. It says they have burnt in the fire to their gods. You mean, are you saying it's not wrong? It's just ritual uncleanness? Not wrong?
No. I'm saying that when...
Hold my time, Ed. Go ahead, Mark. You go ahead. He's holding my time. Well, I thought what you said was that this is only ritual uncleanness that never was used when someone was breaking God's law. That's what I wrote down. And here, I think you're saying you're agreeing with me that these people were breaking God's law, and it's called in the English abomination. In the Hebrew, it's that word tobah. Same word in Ezekiel 22:11. One hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. What's that talking about, Jeff? What do we call that? Yeah, but what's the specific sin? Abomination with your neighbor's wife. Adultery. That's tobah. It's called an abomination with his neighbor's wife, and the word tobah is used. Well, is that just ritual uncleanness? And she meant by that, the word is never used when someone breaks God's law. It's just ritual uncleanness. Okay? 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 3 uses the word tobah. Made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen. That's like Deuteronomy 12:31. Tobah, abomination, making your son to pass through the fire. Evidently, again, as Deuteronomy 12, talking about sacrificing your children to idols. 2 Corinthians Chronicles chapter 28, verse 3, burn his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen. Same thing. Sacrificing through fire your children to idols is called this abomination, tobah. And Margaret said, it's never used when someone breaks God's law. I don't think we can go along with that, Margaret. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19 says, it names off seven sins, for example, lying and murder, and it says, these seven are an abomination to the Lord, to God. It's tobah. According to Margaret, that means it's only ritual uncleanness. It's never used when someone breaks God's law. Lying and murder? This is the same word to refer to lying and murder and idolatry and adultery to refer to homosexuality in Leviticus 18 and chapter 20. Ezekiel 33, verse 26, same word, translated abomination in the English. It says, you work abomination, you defile everyone's neighbor's wife. Jeff, this time you know what that's talking about. What is it? Adultery. Jeff's my friend. I pick on him a little bit, but I'm dependent on him to drive me home tonight. Anyway, are all the above sins just examples of ritual uncleanness? Violators of the... Here's the last point on this chart, Margaret. Violators of the Levitical censor against homosexuality were put to death. They were put to death. If it's only a matter of ritual uncleanness, why were the homosexuals put to death? Were the ones that wore garments that were made out of mixed thread, were those put to death? Or the ones that had tattoos, were those put to death? Wasn't that your point? Let's go back to my point from Leviticus. We should know. We love Margaret, and we want the best for her. So, Margaret, we say this with all respect. Margaret, you should have known this is not a correct argument, because you told me, as soon as you were done speaking, that bestiality, you said that God didn't like it, and I asked you to clarify, and you said, yes, it was a sin. You should have known your argument was incorrect, because you, in effect, made it homosexuality just a matter of ritual uncleanness, not a sin. Yet we've already pointed out to you that it was condemned in the same, put in the same category as bestiality, which you said was a sin. You wouldn't have said bestiality was just ritual uncleanness. Yet these passages, we've already shown you that homosexuality is put in the same category as bestiality. So you may not have known all these other passages where tobah was used to refer to when someone breaks God's law, not just ritual uncleanness. You may not have known that. You still should have known the argument was incorrect, because we've already pointed out to you that homosexuality is like, in God's eyes, it's like bestiality. Let's look at that again. Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination, tobah. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down there to his confusion. Please forgive me for being crude, but I want to make the point, because I love everybody and I want them to be 100% clear what we're saying and what God is saying. Homosexuality is likened to a woman lying down before a horse. Margaret, I know you think that's wrong. You told us it's wrong. The Bible is saying they're the same thing in effect. They're put in the same category. They're condemned in the same breath. I want you to see that, because I want to encourage you, because I love you and I love God, to stop this sin. We're not homophobes, as some people say. We're not scared of homosexuals or anything like that. We just don't agree that it's according to Bible principles, just like adultery or lying or murder. And so we want to encourage everyone to quit this sin so they can enjoy paradise forever and heaven with all of us. That's why we do it. President Obama, he's wrong about what he said. He said that he thought homosexual marriage was right. But he's wrong. He's not right. God said that it's wrong. It's in the same category as bestiality. Notice this. If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Skip just one verse and it says, and if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death. And ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Margaret, I submit to you that these passages demonstrate that your position is absurd unless you also think bestiality is okay, because it puts these two sins in the same category. But you've already told me it's not okay. You said it was sinful. And I appreciate you saying that and being honest with us. I would like to read 2 Peter chapter 1, about verses 20 and 21. Someone pointed this out. Remember you were talking about, and I didn't get this exactly right, but I got most of the words right, the text that we're looking at are not the Word of God, but allow us to hear His voice. Well, on the surface, I could see how that might could be right, but I know what you mean by that. And this verse contradicts what you mean by that. 2 Peter 1, 20-21, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, Margaret, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see the point? When we read what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, or Romans 1, or what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, or what Moses said in Leviticus. It's not just their opinion. And it's not just a kind of a general framework for us to go by, but if we see that it violates, it's against what we see as truth from our society today, our culture, then we can ignore it. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about this prophecy came by God through the Holy Spirit. These are God's words. His words. It's as if God told you face to face. It's just as valid as if God told you face to face that homosexuals and sodomites shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's as true as if he said it to you face to face. It's as easy to understand as if he told you face to face. And Mr. Obama is just as wrong as if God told President Obama face to face these words. When we read what we read in the Bible, that's God talking to us. We talk to him through prayer. He talks to us back through his words, the Bible. These passages then are without error. They are inspired, as you read in your first speech, 2 Timothy 3. The Scriptures are inspired of God. They come from God, and so they're correct. Let's go back to Romans 1 and read that. This is what God said. According to 2 Peter 2, 20-21, this is what God said. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Homosexuality is called uncleanness. Through the lust of their own hearts. Not a dispassionate act just to worship the idol, but they lusted after their gay partner. To dishonor. It's a dishonorable thing. Dishonor their own bodies between themselves. It's not just something dishonoring between them and an idol. It's between the two bodies. Physical, sexual relations that is causing the dishonor. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Even the affections are vile. For even their women to change the natural use, and that was against nature. That's the lesbian. It's against nature. And likewise also the men living the natural use of the woman. That kind of homosexuality is also against nature. Crudely put, but Holger Neubauer describes it correctly, the body parts don't fit. Burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. Is that unseemly? Does that mean it was good or bad, according to God? They're receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was me. And then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 again. I know I'm repeating myself, but I want everybody to see what God has to say. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? A general statement. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he gives us a list of some of these unrighteous acts or people. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So a homosexual or sodomite is not going to go to heaven any more than a fornicator, idolater, or an adulterer will. Or a drunkard. And then, 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, we also know this, that the law was not made for a good man, isn't that my time? But for people who are lawless, rebels, and godly sinners, and holy, not religious, father killers, mother killers, murderers, sexual sinners, homosexuals, slave traders, liars, and those who break promises. These and other things are against the healthy teaching as found in the glorious gospel, the blessed God, which is trusted in me. Simple English New Testament. I'm not really sure what's there. It must be God. It's only a little bit cut off. Thank you very much, and I encourage you to listen to Margaret with all your attention.